All right, welcome back in. This is now the six, seven, eight. We're now in the fourth hour of the Game Blitz right here on 102.5 The Game, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Apple Collision Center, National Playmakers Academy. We got some scores rolling through now. Again, a lot of teams on fall break. A lot of teams played last night. So the schedule tonight, pretty light. Be the same way next week. And then by October 21st, that week in week 10 and week 11 will be just fast and furious, and the playoffs start, and my goodness, we're going to take you all the way up to the week before the playoff because we love this. We love high school football, and thank you for joining us tonight. All right, let's get a scoreboard update. Kenny! All right, games played last night. We'll give you one more time for these. Cane Ridge beat Overton 21-12, Clarksville to West Creek 30-14, Clarksville Northeast 62, Father Ryan 55, CPA 35, Oakland 14, East Nashville 43, Maplewood 8, FRA 55, Stratford 18, Hillwood 50, Glencliff 9, Lebanon 27, Mount Juliet 6, McGavick 48, Antioch 20, Nashville Christian 49, Clarksville Northwest 19, Pearl Cone 35, Marshall County 23, Rossview 22, Kenwood 14, Stewart County 41, Houston County 24, Tahoma or Montgomery Central 31-0. Those are games played last night. All right, as for games tonight, Beach is now over Springfield 21-3. Brentwood over Franklin 7-0. Brentwood Academy over Cornerstone Christian out of Tennessee 26-0. Ravenwood on Centennial 14-7. Clay County over Scott 26-0. Richland over Collinwood 21-21. Creekwood over Greenbrier 14-6. NBA leads Innsbruck 28-17. Fairview over Camden 50-0. Clarksville Academy over Franklin Grace 14-12. Giles County up on Columbia, 28-21. Gordonsville, woo! Taking it to Trousdale, win 35-0. Watertown over Harpeth, 23-0. Hendersonville beating Shelbyville, 19-12. Green Hill over Hunter's Lane, 21-0. Summit on top of Indy Independence, 21-10. Lipscomb on top of Knox Catholic, 35-0. Moore County on top of Loretto, 27-21. Page over Nolensville, that's 14-7 in the third quarter. Macon County leads Stowe Memorial 28-14. Cheatham County over Sycamore 8-7. White County 14, Hillsboro 0. Waverly over White House Heritage 42-13. Paducah Tillman 14, Henry County 10. And Cumberland County over Livingston Academy 7-0. Let's bring in Elijah Campbell. Elijah, I want to go back to a game last night where it seems like every week Father Ryan is in some sort of shootout. And they lost last night to Clarksville Northeast 62-55. I know it's not a non-region game, but my goodness, that's a lot of points if you're Father Ryan to come up on the losing side of that.
Yeah, and for a team and a coach that they pride themselves on the defense, I mean, they've been involved in some of the wildest games this year, Joe Dubin. Even starting from the first game of the season, that was our game of the week, right? East Nashville,
right,
and Father Ryan. Father Ryan having to play East Nashville, and East Nashville getting up, 32-6 early, and then Father Ryan making it interesting at the end by being able to tally a couple touchdowns. But I was stunned to see that score. There's a lot of scores that have stunned me the last 2 weeks, you know.
All right,
but I think that one was probably the most shocking, like the sticker shock. Like, is this, right, this not a basketball score that got, you know, copied and pasted on here? Like, that one was really surprising. But the thing for Father Ryan, man, is they've been giving up a lot of points lately, and it's not a good recipe when you're in a region with Pope John Paul, Macaulay, Knox Catholic, NBA, and Baylor.
Correct. Let me get your reaction. So the last three games, they've lost 46-45, 43-42, 62-55. Those three games right there, Elijah, are why I am not a high school football coach. I couldn't take it.
Exactly. I mean, how much quicker? You would have grown hair again and then re-lost it in those last 3 weeks.
Right.
All within that time, just because of that. But the cardiovascular health can't be great for all the coaches on the staff at Father Ryan. But just think about it. They're kind of one of those teams that they're a really good football team. They're not a 2-6 football team. They're a handful of plays away from being 5-2 or 5-3.
Yeah.
I mean, that drastically changes the season because the Knox Catholic game is in the region, and some of the other games they've played too that have been really, really close, maybe not region games, but they lost a 10-7 game against Brentwood in the second week of the season.
Right.
Like, they've lost so many one score games that they could be 6-2. They could have been 5-3, but instead they're sitting at 2-6, playing a mammoth schedule. That's one of the hardest in the entire state if you look at every team across all classifications. And they're 0-3 in the games that matter the most, and one of which was last week against Knox Catholic, 43-42. It's frustrating because you have the offense that's been putting up the points to win these games. You just can't hold on late, and it's got to be really frustrating if you're a fan, a player, or a coach for this Father Ryan team this year.
Yeah, you know, we don't say that just to besmirch them, but it's just bizarre to lose three games like that when you're putting up 45, 42, and 55 points. It's got to be so frustrating on that. Anyway, you know, Brian Rector, we love him. He's a friend of the show, calls in all the time. It's just, you know, and here's another crazy thing. They pounded Cane Ridge pretty well.
Yeah, they got one of the most impressive wins right. of anybody in the state against Cane Ridge. And that's one of their only two wins. Like, that's remarkable. It's not like the two wins they beat were the artist formerly known as Scott County. No disrespect to Scott County, now known as Scott. But like, Cane Ridge is a quality win against the best team in Metro Nashville, them or East Nashville, one of the two. But one of the best teams in the Metro. That's going to be tough to swallow, too. They'll look back at the end of the season, and it's going to be really bittersweet because you're going to look back, and you're going to see that win. They're going to be really proud of themselves. A blowout win against a really good team, then they're also going to remember the shootout losses they had that cost you the season. They're kind of like Warren County in that regard. Now, yeah. Warren County hasn't put up the 40, 50, 60-point explosions that Father Ryan has at certain points this year, but if you look at Warren County, Joe, this is one thing I was looking at today that it really baffled me, because on paper, Warren County's not a historical powerhouse by any means, right? But they have a solid team coming into this year. They're 1-6, 0-2 in the region, but here are their losses. 35-34 at DeKalb County. 22-21 at White County, a game in which White County went for two at the very end of the game, less than 10 seconds left to win it. They won their game against Ridgeway. They got blown out at Mount Juliet, but lost a one-touchdown game to Cookeville, lost to Siegel 21-18, and then, of course, Coffee County beat them by a couple of scores last week. But that's what? 1, 2, 3 of those games, one score, two of which were by 1 point. Oh, their season is dramatically different if the ball bounces one or two ways. Like, that's football for you. And Warren County and Father Ryan have been really, I guess, snake-bitten with the bad luck bug, or the unluck of the Irish bug, if you're in Father Ryan's instance. But tough losses for those teams this year that are a lot better than what their records show.
All right, a few scoreboard updates for you real quick right now. Nolansville has just scored against Page. It's 14-14, 2.5 minutes left in the third quarter. Centennial just went up over Ravenwood 21-17. That game is 8 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. I mean, we got some great games coming down to the wire tonight. It's Waverly continuing to roll. White House Heritage up 48-13. I'm trying to see if Fairview's dropped any more on Camden. No, that's still 50-0 right now. We forgot to do our running clock game of the week so far. We're a little out of sorts.
This is tailor made for that award.
Right. We're
tailor made for it.
By the way, for the clarity, quick, the Cornerstone Christian Church at Brentwood Academy is playing. It's out of Ohio. So, for those asking.
Joe, I've seen that school placed in three different states today. I saw one where it was a school in Georgia. We heard today that it might have been out in Memphis. But then we got the clarification that it's in Ohio. It's in like three different states. Yes. Maybe this is a traveling circus. And they go from state to state playing football, and there's a rolling stone that's gathered no moss, and they've collected states at this point.
What's the school last year that played on ESPN that nobody knew? Bishop Sycamore, was that it?
Bishop Sycamore, the made-up school. Yes, very much so.
How does that happen today? How does that happen?
You got to be a next-level con man. That's one of my favorite stories in the history of sports, because that team clearly, Joe, the obvious thing of their uniforms not all matching, and then you watch them play IMG Academy. It's not like there's a fake school that got onto a football field to play against, you know, Clay County or Pickett County or schools like that. They played IMG Academy, a school that is designed to send kids there to play sports so they can go play in college and eventually in the NFL, MLB, NBA, whatever sport they want to go pro in. It's a factory for that. They played those kids and got beaten so badly on public television or national television that an investigation was launched by journalists into whether or not the school was real.
Right.
Still, to this day, that's the most surreal news story.
All right, Brentwood Academy just tweeted this out. And hold on, Junior, we're coming to you in 1 second. Brentwood Academy beat Cornerstone Christian out of Texas 47-7. That's official from the Brentwood Academy Twitter account. So this school allegedly is now in Texas. It's moved four times tonight.
They're not real, Joe. I'm convinced they're not real. This is not a real school. They just beat some poor Bishop Sycamore wannabe into submission tonight. So good for Brentwood Academy. Big win. However, I'm not convinced the school you beat is real.
All right. Let's go back to the phone lines now. Let's bring in Junie Riddle, who's covering the Paige Dillonsville game for us. Junie, what's the update?
A lot more defense in the second half. Not much was going in the third quarter. A lot of big defensive stops. Roughly for both teams, and they kept that 14-7, but a huge play that turned this game was a pick by Jackson Brandy, the outside linebacker for the Nolensville Knights, on Colin Hurd to set them up on the Page 40. Then quarterback Kobe Walton has been using his mobility to get away from pressure all night because of the amazing rush that Page has brought along, but he used that to his advantage to extend some plays and dump it off to his running backs and receivers out on the flat. Lastly, after a couple good plays by him to keep that momentum going, they got inside the red zone. It was a jet sweep to Chance Fitzgerald, their number one wide receiver, 6'3 guy. According to their coach, he's got a lot of FCS offers. Ran it into the end zone, and we are all knotted up here, 14-14, as the clock, as I speak, hits, and we're heading into the fourth quarter tied.
I've been watching this game on TV, Junie, and I just see a lot of back and forth, a lot of great plays, a lot of big hits, a lot of plays that could like they're going to break free, and they can get past the line of scrimmage and everything. This is a really good football game that you're watching tonight.
I mean, all three phases. You've seen special teams come into play. You've seen the running game come into play. Both these teams have a very balanced attack, very well-balanced team, very well-coached on both sides. They both really want this game to take the lead in their district. I'm looking at Max Preps, and they're sitting at 2-3 and 5A in the entire state right now. This game has a lot of implications on the line when it comes to the playoffs in a couple weeks. And these two teams are going to fight it out here in the fourth quarter. And the team that scores the most, it's 0-0. And whoever comes out on top in this quarter is going to win this game, guys. It's plain and simple. But like you said, Joe, like you said, all three phases coming into play for both of these teams.
All right. Well done, Junie. We'll talk to you on the side, buddy. Thank you for the update.
Thanks, Junie.
You got it, guys. Later.
Junie Riddle, man. He is what do you call him, Elijah? The Adam Schefter of high school football?
That's what I've heard. I've heard him described as the Adam Schefter.
I love it, man.
It's gotten a little better each week. He went from, you know, a couple weeks of the season, he was the Jay Glazer, and then you hear some rumblings that it's the Adam Schefter, and he's kind of, you know, morphing into this reporter extraordinaire. It's fun to see unfold in front of our very eyes and the very ears of our audience.
All right, before we go to the break real quick, John Davidson tweeting in to me, Paducah Tillman scores a TD on the last play of the game. Henry County wins it 24-20 over Paducah Tillman. I'm confused by this. Paducah. All right, so they were up. They're already up 24-13. Paducah Tillman scores a no nothing TD. Henry County wins. So Henry County, all of our folks over in Paris, Tennessee, congratulations on the big win tonight. I'm a big dummy. I can't read tweets. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. This is the Game Blitz brought to you by Apple Collision Center and National Playmakers Academy right here on 105, 106.3, the game. I feel awful interrupting this song. It's fantastic.
Yeah, right?
Our man Kenny producing the show. And again, shout out to Kenny. Elijah and I can sit here all night long and rattle off stats and interviews, but it's Kenny that gets the coaches does the drops for us, everything else. So we cannot thank you enough. Kenny, you're a hero, brother. Thank you.
I'm glad to be a part of it. Y'all make me want to do it.
Oh, my man. Let's bring in Elijah Campbell right now. Elijah, earlier, you know, I was going through this, you know, I'm not as intense as you are with all the stats because you're amazing. But just looking through, and I went back. I was like, I'm flipping my day timer back. I mean, to August 19th, when we started this, it's week 8. And I'm thinking, man, we got a long way to go. But here we are on the downside of all this. And it's been just an amazing ride. And it gets better each and every Friday night.
It's the best because it unfolds. And there's so much. My favorite thing about high school football, Joe, and what we've really gotten to see unfold over these last, 8-9 weeks or so, is that the unpredictability of high school sports. Now there's some predictables where, you know, a lot of teams are going to be good year in, year out, but there's things that happen. You have these wild games. You have, you know, the game that happened last night between Clarksville Northeast and Father Ryan. You also have some of those games that we've witnessed between like Mount Juliet and White County. I would have never have guessed in 1,000 years that White County and Mount Juliet would have been like the game of the year that we've had, and getting to see that kind of unfold in the studio in real time as that happened was such a highlight. Like, that encapsulates exactly what high school football is all about and what makes it so fun too. We've been able to uncover a lot of really cool storylines. We've been able to see, like we mentioned earlier in the show, a good example, Summit, kind of grow from a team that is coming into a season in which they lost so many key players from, you know, one of the best teams in the state. I mean, a state runner up. And have to rebuild before our very eyes. And look, now tonight they're up 21-10 on Independence, and it's a game that's really encapsulated what their growth has been like. You've seen the growth of these teams. You're seeing region title hopes kind of morph in front of your very eyes. Pearl Cone's revenge tour is one of my favorite storylines to keep up with this season. There's so many of those that have gotten to develop over these last 7, 8, 9 weeks.
I think it's really fantastic.
It's not just a ton of fun, but worthwhile.
Yeah.
The entertainment value is so good for the season.
All right. Just got a final. I don't mean to interrupt you, but I get your opinion immediately on this. A final just came through. Cumberland County beat Livingston Academy 7-0. Would you expect any other score from two winless teams going into tonight?
Would I expect the final score of 2-0-17 to be 7-0?
Yes.
The irony is rich in this, Joe. Saturday Night Live writers could not write this kind of stuff up. But good for the J-E-T-S, Jets of Cumberland County to get that one touchdown, and that's all you needed to beat Livingston, to make Livingston experience a 20-game losing streak now that it is extended. And Cumberland County will not go winless. This is a game they're going to remember. A lot of these kids that are seniors, they'll remember this the rest of their life. That was the game they got to win in the region. Now, unfortunately for both of these teams, they play in a really tough region. Macon County is really good. DeKalb County is really good. Stone's really good. Upperman's really good. We've gone through that this year. But this was their one chance to beat somebody this year. And if you're Cumberland County, tonight was your Super Bowl. So October 7th, 2022, the 2022 Cumberland County Jets Super Bowl. Congratulations, fellas. You've earned it. They're off the schneid. They're out of the out of the winless category.
Right.
So big win for them.
Another final just happened, and the team we've talked about, Creekwood, just pounds Greenbrier 30-6. As we reported earlier, is that Greenbrier started the game with a pick six. They take the lead, and then Creekwood, just their defense again. Elijah just hammers down. That's a huge win in that in Region 5. That's a huge win for Creekwood tonight.
Oh, it is everything for Creekwood. Not only does it give Greenbrier their first loss in the region season, they now fall to 4-1. I think it's Creekwood 3-2. And Creekwood was starting to get to the point where you're no longer comfortably in playoff position because of how well Lawrence County and Tullahoma have been able to play as of late, especially Tullahoma. So that win now puts Creekwood at 3-2 on the region season. They're now one game behind Marshall County, technically one game behind Greenbrier, but hold the tiebreaker over Greenbrier if it gets to that point. And then, of course, Pearl Cone 6-0 in the region. I like their chances to eventually win it, but when it comes down to trying to secure a playoff spot, they're sitting at number 4, and they beat one of the three teams that are ahead of them. That is huge for Creekwood. Now, they can even put in sight the possibility of hosting a playoff game, getting in that top 2. We mentioned earlier how valuable being number 2 in Region 5 can be especially considering they have a little bit of a, what I consider a weaker region in Region 6. They'd be playing in the first round
right.
with a bunch of schools from West Tennessee. They're favorable matchups. If you're Creekwood and you're able to get even the number two spot, I would like their chances against Chester County at home in the first round of the playoffs, which if they were in second place, that's who they'd be playing if the season ended today.
Yeah.
So that, I like those chances there. There's a lot to play for Creekwood.
Not bad. Real quick, final. Green Hill beat Hunters Lane 35-0. And one more, Cascade over Joe Burnside 34-0. All right, let's get more. I'm fascinated by this. These two 0-7 teams, the Cumberland County and Livingston Academy. Let's yes. bring in your man. Bring Rusty in for the show right now because he was at the game tonight.
Yes, Rusty, welcome in, man. You got to witness. I'm so jealous that Rusty, you got to witness this game between two 0-7 teams, but I love it, not because I don't want to pick on them, but because there's a desperation between both of these teams that you're not going to see from them all season long. So, Rusty, go ahead and set the table. What was it like getting to witness the Elijah Campbell special tonight?
I will tell you, for anyone that says that there is no meaning in a game between two teams that are 0-7, they have not watched sports long enough, because this game very clearly meant something to both of these teams. Honestly, like, this is exactly the kind of game I was expecting. Very low scoring, very heavily, you know, very heavy on the defense. Cumberland County, honestly, just wore Livingston down with their running attack. And despite every opportunity Livingston did get, because I think in the final 7 minutes, they had, I think, three possessions. And that's rare in high school football mm-hmm. to see that many possessions by one team in the final 7 minutes of a game. Livingston just wore them down, eventually just ran the clock too low to where, you know, they just couldn't – Livingston Academy just couldn't get anything done. Cumberland got constant pressure. I think by my count in the second half alone, and I may have missed one here or there, I think Cumberland County had five sacks in the second half alone.
Wow.
So the front – and that was only rushing three. They dropped eight for a majority of the night, only rushed three. So that tells you the kind of pressure those three were getting up front. Really good defensive showing by the Jets. And head coach Noah Rapaski is excited about this win. He also was very quick when he was speaking to his team afterwards, very quick to say, hey, we've got Jackson County after our bye next week. Let's make it number two.
Wow. And that's a potentially winnable game. Jackson County's kind of had their ups and downs this year. But, Rusty, what was the kind of that feeling like for Cumberland County once that game finally ended? Could you sense, like, that relief that they might have experienced finally getting into the win column for a team that's lost their last eight dating back to last year?
Oh, for sure. I think that there's absolutely a certain level of joy, you know, that, you know, for these kids to see the hard work they've had. I mean, we don't see every single thing that happens at practice. These coaches sure do. And that's when you work as hard as you do and it takes this long for that first win to come, it means just a little bit more, regardless of who it's over, how you did it, what the score was. It means a little bit more when it takes this long and you learn to appreciate them a little bit more. I want to say this about Noah Rapaski real quick, the head coach for Cumberland County. He's in his third year here. Last week there was a lot of overreactions online to their game against Stone Memorial, and I think everyone here knows how good Stone Memorial is, despite right now they're down 28-20 to Macon right now. Everyone knows how good Stone Memorial is, and there were plenty of overreactions saying that he wasn't the coach for this team, and I couldn't disagree more. I think he is the coach for this kind of job, to build a program back up and to, you know, build a program that's had a very, very rough, I would say, last two decades, honestly. He has got this program going in the right direction. The wins might not show right away, but I have far more faith in Noah Rapaski than I do just about any other coach who's where he is right now.
Hey, Rusty, before I let you go, I always love atmospheres of high school football. You had two 0-7 teams tonight. How was the atmosphere there?
You know, you couldn't have told. I wouldn't have been able to tell you if I didn't know these were 2-0-17. I would not have been able to know because it was a pretty full crowd. I mean, Livingston packed out. I'd say probably about 85% of their stands. And I mean, to be fair, it did get a little chilly at some point. I'm out here in khaki shorts and a short sleeve polo, so I made my own mistakes tonight. But Cumberland County traveled really well. Seemed like they had a full crowd. Atmosphere was awesome. Again, if you had told me and I had no idea, I would have never known these were 2-0-7 teams. So, for sure, definitely a lot of support for these teams, and that's just football in the Upper Cumberland for you. A lot of these fans are passionate. They support their teams regardless of the good times and bad.
Love it. Rusty, thank you. We're up against the break, man. Appreciate that. I love hearing – I don't care what the record is. I love when fans and teams can have a good time. Thanks, brother. We appreciate you.
Absolutely, fellas. Y'all take it easy.
All right, well done. Hey, by the way, throughout your night, it's a Friday night. If you got pictures of Lane Kiffin out and about, tweet them to us at 1025, because surely, Elijah, he went and saw his prize project and Marcel Reed, right?
I really hope so, especially considering what they did to a good 6-1 Ensworth team tonight. 35-17 win, I think, might have been the final there. Or if it's not the final, they're getting pretty close. They put on a show against one of the best teams in the state. And I saw Teron Davenport's video of one of his touchdown passes early in the game. And it was an absolute rocket. If you're Lane Kiffin, I'd champing at the bit to watch my prize quarterback go ahead and play right now. He's that good that if Jackson Dart's there next year and it's Marcel Reed and Jackson Dart, you should really consider playing Reed over Dart. I think he's that good.
He is that good. All right, we'll get more with you in just a moment. We'll take another break at the bottom of the hour. We're going to get a full scoreboard update for you right on the Game Blitz, brought to you by Apple Collision Center, National Playmakers Academy. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game. All right, welcome back to the Game Blitz. We got a lot of scores that are just going final right now, so we're going to get the final scoreboard update for you. Elijah, stick there, because we got some games that have these are awesome. Some great scores for. All right, Kenny, hit scoreboard update. All right, we've already told you about last night's scores, so we're done with that. All right, let's move on to tonight. Beach beat Springfield 42-10. Brentwood over Franklin 7-0. Brentwood Academy beats a team that could be from any one of the 50 states. Cornerstone Christian, 47-7. All right, here you go, Elijah. Centennial upsets Ravenwood 28-24.
Chaos.
Clay County.
So much chaos.
Over Scott. We don't know who Scott is. We're going to find out, though. 53-0. Collinwood beats Richland. That's an upset. 33-28. Hotland over Community, 20-6. Greenbrier loses to Creekwood, 30-6. NBA beats Ensworth, 35-17. Fairview wins 56-0. Clarksville Academy 14, Franklin Grace 12. That's at halftime. Giles County 28, Columbia Academy 21. That's in the fourth quarter. Gordonsville beats Trousdale 35-0. Watertown over Harpeth 26-0. Shelbyville trails Hendersonville 19-12 in the third. Green Hill beats Hunter's Lane 35-0. Independence comes back and beats Summit 26-21 in the fourth quarter. Cascade over Joe Burns 34-0. Lipscomb beats Knox Catholic 42-0. Moore County, this game is just in the fourth quarter, over Loretto 55-42. Page leads Nolensville 21-20. 3 minutes to go in the fourth quarter right there. Macon County over Stone Memorial 28-20. Cheatham County over Sycamore 8-7, not a final. White County over Hillsborough 14-0, not a final. Final, Waverly 48. White House Heritage 13. Final, Wilson Central with a big win over Station Camp, 39-30.
Wow.
Henry County beats Paducah Tillman, and Cumberland County beats Livingston 7-0. Elijah, let's go back to this big win by Centennial over Ravenwood tonight. What a big win for Coach Kreisky.
Oh, that's huge. I mean, that's the first district region loss for Ravenwood this year, a team that has – that's offensively been as fun to watch as any team in high school football. Chris Parsons had an incredible year, the quarterback for Ravenwood, who's going to be playing at Mississippi State next year. But they were going in tonight 5-2, with the two losses being very quality losses to MBA in Oakland, and then being 3-0 in this region. Centennial beating them tonight changes so much, Joe. That means Ravenwood's 3-1 in region play. Brentwood High School beat Franklin tonight, so that means they're 3-1 in region play. The win for Centennial makes Centennial 3-1 in region play. Independence beating or coming back to beat Summit, which is also a crazy result tonight, makes them 3-1 in region play. So by my count, Joe, which usually I don't count very well, I'm not a math guy, that is four teams that are at 3-1 in region play in Region 7, 6A. We have now reached the portal of ultimate chaos. Welcome. You've gone through the Stargate. This is fantastic.
Well done. Yeah, that's just a big win. I mean, again, what a great and just a tough division right there for those teams, and a big win for Centennial right there to roll through there. Independence gets it over Summit. We thought Summit would have it right now. Just another learning experience for Coach Coleman at Summit.
It is. It was going to be that's the beauty of this, right? I mean, it's going to be a learning experience one of two ways. Either look at what you've done and all of this this cachet you've been able to amass over the years in terms of experience and being able to turn that into a win against a really good independents team. But part of learning how to win in regions like this is figuring out the many different ways you can lose games. And that experience is going to be worthwhile later on. Unfortunately for them, does them no good. Essentially a playoff eliminator for them tonight, the loss to Independence is. Mathematically, I don't know if there really is a path to a playoff spot now, considering they're winless in the region. And with only two games left to play, they are three games out of the playoff spot. So that's tough if you're Summit. But if you're Independence, that saves your season. That almost all but ensures that you're going to make the playoffs. And now it's a battle to either – you can either win the region in the next couple weeks, or you can be fourth in the region, have to travel to either Collierville or Houston for your first round playoff game, which is not a desirable spot to be, because Region 7 paired with Region 8, Region 8 is absolutely loaded with some of the best teams in West Tennessee. Wouldn't want any of that. I would want to be playing at home. So these next 2 weeks are not only significant for the region title, Joe Dubin, but significant as to where you're going to be playing in the playoffs.
I totally agree. Another game, Green Hill took care of business tonight versus Hunter's Lane. So they're now 2-1 in the region, if I do that correctly. Sets up a showdown end of the season versus Mount Juliet. I mean, good teams supposed to take care of bad teams. So that's in Class 5A Region 5. That's a game that I'm looking forward to, Elijah, just because, once again, everything's on the line there. And with, if White County's got two losses inside the region and it come down, Green Hill and Mount Juliet, whoever wins that gets the number one seed in that region, and that's huge.
That's massive. That's a region championship game. And I mean, speaking of this region, I'd like to give a shout out to Joe, because the last, 4 weeks we've been talking about specifically Mount Juliet, Green Hill, White County, Station Camp. That's kind of the four that we talked about that had legitimate shots at winning this. But in the last 2 weeks, Wilson Central has beaten White County and Station Camp. Uh-oh. They're now 3-2 in this region. Puts them firmly in third place. And if Green Hill ends up losing that game to Mount Juliet, it can make things a little interesting in terms of Wilson Central going from a team that started off the season 1-5 to a team that can potentially be hosting a playoff game. That is a remarkable turnaround that has just kind of blown my mind here in these last few weeks.
Yeah, I'm looking them up now. I mean, Wilson Central has started out they've had some pretty bad losses, but they got some really crucial and critical wins, like you said, over White County, over Station Camp. I mean, they've had just a couple of wins within the region, but they've been massive wins. They've now got three wins in the region over Hunter's Lane, White County, and State. That's why you never quit. You just never give up, because you don't know what could happen. So great job by Wilson Central tonight, knocking off what's been a decent Station Camp high school football team in season.
Yeah. I mean, it's a testament to those kids too. And I'm sure if you talk to that coaching staff, it's been a process, of trying to get them to see a lot of the big picture stuff on the spreadsheet, that I have, Joe. I've been keeping up with it all year long with region standings, and it's been wild to see them from week to week gradually climb up each point to the spot now where they're third. They're sitting in third behind Mount Juliet and Green Hill. It's pretty remarkable. That's one of the cooler stories in that region, because when we were talking about contenders for it, Joe, just 3 weeks ago, we weren't mentioning Wilson Central. They were an afterthought. And now we have to talk about them because they've beaten two of the better teams in this region, which we've said probably has the most parity than any of any region in the state. And they're making noise now. They're now a newsworthy team. Like, that's good on them for salvaging a season for a team that started 1-5 to now be 3-2 in a really tough region. That speaks volumes. That's a really neat thing.
Another final, Moore County over Loretto, 62-42. Don't discount Moore County. They're now 5-1. That's a big win for them. And also, Elijah, a minute and a half to go in the game, Shelbyville over Hendersonville, 34-33. I did not know Shelbyville has not won a game this year.
They have not. No, they have not. And they've lost some heartbreakers too. Shelbyville's in a pretty top heavy region. They play in the region with Cookeville, Coffee County, Lebanon, They've had some really tough losses. And if you look at their schedule, they had the 16-7 loss to Tullahoma at the beginning of the year, which is a field goal fest for Tullahoma. They ended up pulling out, winning that game. Got killed by Marshall County, killed by Coffee County, killed by Riverdale, had a 3-point tough loss at Kenwood. And then, of course, Lebanon did what Lebanon does to a lot of teams in that region, beat them 41-7. It's been a tough year for Shelbyville. And if they were to beat Hendersonville tonight, I mean, that's a pretty big – it's not a region win, but that is a momentum win. You can carry that with you the rest of the year, especially considering they have some pretty winnable games, because after this week, they got Warren County next week, who is, as we discussed before, has an affinity for losing really close games.
Right.
Then they're at Summit, a team that's still learning how to win, and then at Cookeville, a team that's only won 2 games this season. They can use that as a springboard.
I totally agree. All right, let's take a break. We're trying to effort a bunch of coaches. Games just now going final. A few games that just went final right there, as we talked about. Henry County beats Paducah Tillman tonight, 24-20. Brentwood over Franklin, 7-0. Waverly wins 48-13. Coach, real quick, Elijah, that I want to talk tonight is, I can't wait to talk to him, is Matt Kreisky over at Centennial. Just the season they're having. So we're going to effort him. A lot of things. Stick with us. We're here till midnight tonight. This is the Game Blitz, brought to you by Apple Collision Center, National Playmakers Academy, right here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Let's kick it. And listen, Ice is back with my brand new invention. Something grabs a hold of me tightly, flow like a harpoon daily and nightly.
Will it ever stop?
Yo,
I don't know.
All right, welcome back here to 102.5 The Game. The Game Blitz right in there. Our man Kenny is just the best. Great, great music. 90s music, we love it.
That's a throwback.
I don't care if you hate Vanilla Ice, whatever. You play that song in a club, everybody gets on the floor. Everybody gets on the floor and dances to that.
One time for Robert Van Winkle.
Come on, right? According to him, he didn't rip that song off from Queen and David Bowie because their song was like, nah. His song was like, nah. So big difference there, right?
Huge difference. It makes the entire song. Really.
This is what you call a stretch in the business. We're trying to get some of these coaches on. Real quick, Paige in Nolensville, 25 seconds to go, 21-21. Nolensville's got the ball. They got a 4th-and-1. I'm not sure where they are right now, but high drama tonight, Elijah. I love this, man. High drama up and down the high school football board in Middle Tennessee.
I kind of really want overtime in that Paige Nolensville game. Have we had a game of the week go to overtime yet, Joe?
I don't think we have. I think a lot of them have been pretty much blowouts.
We've gotten some unfortunate bounces on some of our game of the weeks, but this one I think has probably been set up to be the best one so far because of both teams being 7-0 and being ITC, if you will, in the club. And if it goes to overtime, as evenly matched as they are, then you have the elements here for it to be an all-timer. I'm feeling the all-timer here tonight, Joe. I've been all over this game, and I'm excited that our dream might come a reality.
I think we care way too much about high school football, and I love it.
Oh, absolutely. You can't do this for 6 hours every Friday night if you don't, you know.
I'm trying to get those coming in there. Real quick, any game shocker, surprise you, anything that pops out right now at 9:45 on a Friday night?
Yeah, there is actually one that we haven't gotten to talk about yet, Joe. That's the best part about this. There's so many good games going on that sometimes there's some that fly under the radar. Beach and Springfield was a really cool matchup because Beach is 5A. Springfield is Springfield's also 5A, aren't they? Yeah. They're
5A. 4A. Are they 5A? They move up? Yeah, they're right. I'm stupid. Go ahead.
Because they're in Region 7 with Henry County.
That's it.
But and they had that thrilling game last week, right? Like Henry County, a team that I think is one of my favorites to win state. And they had that thrilling game, 29-28. Was our game of the week basically last week. And you see how both these teams respond. Henry County ended up beating Paducah, a really solid win out of the state. And tonight, Springfield got to play against a Beach team that is one of the best in the entire state. They also played up. Beach is 5A or 6A. Misspoke on that one. But Beach is a really good 6A school that coming in tonight was 5-1 and 3-0 in a really competitive Region 5 6A. it's a good measuring stick game. Now, while there's no region implications, it was fun to be able to see what these two teams look like on the same field together. That's a statement win by Beach to beat a really good Springfield team with a defense, Joe, that we talked about after the first 6 weeks of the season, averaging what, less than about a touchdown given up a game less at right. certain points. That Beach being able to put up what, 42 points like they did tonight, that's a statement. That is a, we are every bit as good as a lot of these 6A teams. You could be, you can put yourself in a class with Oakland, with Cane Ridge, you know, with John Overton, with Blackman, with Coffee County, Lebanon. That's a statement win for the Beach Buccaneers tonight. And you have to take them as seriously as you do almost any other school in 6A to be able to win that thing. That's impressive.
It is. Another final real quick for you. Giles County over Columbia at 49-28. Gordonsville over Trousdale, 35-0. Watertown with a big win over Harper tonight, 26-0. I'm still waiting to get that final of the Shelbyville-Hendersonville game. Shelbyville's up 34-33. Last heard less than a minute and a half to go in that game. So that's Shelbyville, you never know. I mean, the going to Hendersonville, got to travel across Nashville, Middle Tennessee to get there. Not a lot to play for. You're under, you know, haven't won a game all year. And then next thing you know, you're battling. It's a great program in Hendersonville.
And you're in the driver's seat to win that game. And yeah, Hendersonville's had some up and downs. It's a little bit of a down year for them in general, but that's a big program defining win. I mean, the last we went over through their schedule, right? Like they have some very winnable games to end the season. And if you're Shelbyville, the first 7 weeks of the season, 6 or 7 weeks, almost become irrelevant at that point. I mean, I don't think they're in a position to make the playoffs. They still have to play Warren County in Cookeville. Which, I mean, actually, yeah, they can make the playoffs because there's only five teams in that region, four get in. Then Warren County have goose eggs in the region win column. So they actually do have something to really play for in these next few weeks. And what better way to feel better about yourself than by beating a Hendersonville team and then turning around and playing those two winnable games in your region, all with the playoffs on the line. So
yeah, I agree with you.
This is where you'll be playing your best ball.
Macon County just got the win over Stowe Memorial, 35-34. Big win for Macon County, correct?
Ooh. Oh, that is an enormous win. What a better way to bounce back from that disappointing loss to Upperman, their first loss of the year last week, 28-14, by turning around and going on the road and beating Stone. That sounds like that was a thrilling game. My man Noah McKay was at that game tonight. He'll definitely be joining us later to talk about that one, because now I'm really curious as to how that went down. But if you look at that region now, Joe,
right.
This is it's kind of like the Ravenwood and Centennial region that we talked about earlier. It is spicy because that's the first loss of Stone. Stone's now 3-1. If DeKalb County wins tonight, there'd be 3-1. Upperman, 2-1 coming in tonight. You see who they're playing. I totally forgot to look those up earlier, but now Macon County's 3-1. They're 3-1. Stone's 3-1. DeKalb County and Upperman also have one loss on the schedule tonight, or on the season in region play. I mean, their playoff picture is set in terms of the number of teams that are going to be in the playoffs, but any one of those four can win this region at this point. And man, that's a fun region race. If you want to look at some fun region standings, that might be one of the top three or four most fun races we have in the whole state.
I agree with you. The Page-Nolensville game is now going to overtime, and
yes.
Page has got the ball. They're going in first. I liked it from the 10-yard line. It's just simple. You know, the NFL is convoluted. College from the 25. College will never adapt what the pro does because they don't do their own thing. But high school football, it's in the 10-yard line, man. It's you know, that's where you got to go. And I've always loved it just because it's simple like that. So that game is still 21-21. It is in overtime right now. And Page with the ball on the 5-yard line. And then Nolensville gets their chance to score a little bit. I was looking at Macon County. Again, that, to underscore that win is – It's huge. I mean, you go on the road and knock off the team leading the region after losing last week to Upperman. That's a huge win for that program, Elijah.
Oh, it's massive. I mean, and I'm trying to adequately set the table as to what big of a disappointment last week was. So you go into last week, you're 6-0, 2-0 in the region. This is arguably one of the best teams that Macon County has ever had. And in these communities where they take football really seriously and it's a big deal. And we've had Coach Shoulders on before. Yeah. He's talked about how big this community is behind this team and how important that is for to have that support for them moving forward. Like, they're rock stars in that town, man. And to be able to have the first six games of the year go the way they have, and then have that disappointing loss where Upperman comes in there, beats you by two touchdowns. And Noah McKay, after the game, came on with Junie and I and said that the game was never that close. It was a 28-14 game, but it never felt like it was within two touchdowns because Upperman just dominated the game the way Upperman can do. And that's just by running the clock, running the ball, and methodically just beating you to death. That was a disappointing loss. For that loss to happen at home in front of that crowd, which was so excited to see this team potentially punch a ticket to be a game away or so from clinching a region title, that's a huge letdown. And that didn't get to them, because then they go on the road, the Stone Memorial, not the easiest of drives for Macon County to Cumberland County, to play Stone and Crossville, to win that game, eliminate a team from the undefeated club. That's pretty big. It's hard to undersell this win.
You're right. All right, let's go to the phones. Bring in Junie, who's at the Page and Oldsville game, 21-21. Big happening in the game. Junie, what's the latest?
Guys, we just headed into overtime, and Nolensville got a fourth down stop on the 1 yard line. They got the ball back at the 10 to start overtime, because that is the rules here in overtime. Get the ball at the 10, see who can win out in an overtime shootout. Nolensville stepped up on fourth and one on the goal line.
All right, don't go anywhere. This is a fun one, because they can kick a field goal and win it quickly. So keep us with those. What's going on?
They can. They just ran a ball. It was an outside handoff in the shotgun. It looks like we got an injured player that's limping off the field that's holding us up right now. But we got a second down coming up next. It looks like it's going to be about five. The angle that I'm looking at here is not that good, but I know that run went for at least four or five, a good chunk here. They're about to break the huddle and go in for the second down play.
All right, 21-21. Game is in overtime right now. Do you want to stick around and see what happens? Might as well, right? How's the kid doing? Is he off the field yet? Is he okay?
The kid is off the field. The refs are blowing the whistle right now, and I think they're starting to break the huddle.
Let's do it.
I think they had to get a guy off. They're lining up right now. This is a loud, heavy crowd. This is really loud. Everybody's on their feet. We got some motion. We got a handoff, and he stopped short. He's handed it off to his number one receiver that he's been going to all night, Chance Fitzgerald. He tried to do the jet sweep that they scored on earlier to make it a 14-14 game. Did not work this time. The Page defense sniffed it out up the middle and got that good interior rush to stop him before the goal line. We got a third down here. They're lined up again. The crowd's getting heavy again. Hands it off to Samson Johnson. It's a touchdown. Nolensville won in overtime. The game is over.
Woo! That is a huge win for Nolensville.
Wow.
Samson Johnson with the interior handoff broke through and scored the game-winning touchdown, guys.
Right.
Nolensville is going to win this game 27-21 final.
All right, Junie, we need to see you run the middle of the field with, like, you're a high school student, okay, and just for like 10 minutes run around with them.
Well, considering I am in the middle of the Page crowd right now, I do not think that would be a good idea. I'm a little landlocked here, but the students are rushing the field. They are all running on the field in the middle. I mean, you got to think so. Page beat this team 40-22 last year in the regular season. You look at their playoff matchup in the second round, although Nolensville put up a better fight in that game, losing 20-15, this has to be sweet. They are now ahead in their district, ahead of the Page Patriots. This is a huge win for this team. What a hardly fought game on both sides. It really felt like Page had the momentum majority of this game. But finally, Nolensville doing what they can. The fourth quarter run, Kobe Walton giving the ball to his receiver, Chance Fitzgerald, multiple times on third down to go down and drive. Then the defense, who had been playing lights out all night, got that fourth down stuff. And then on third down, on Nolensville's attempt on the goal line, they succeeded and they won this game. And that is going to be a thriller. And that's what I call a 102.5 the game, game blitz. Game of the week, fellas. That's a wrap.
Yes.
Love it. Junie, thank you, brother. We appreciate you, man. Great job.
Absolutely, guys.
All right, we'll see you next week.
The rest of the night.
All right, we are late to a break. We'll get to the break. We'll get the full scoreboard rundown. A lot of big upsets across the area. A lot of big wins. We got that all for you next. This is the Game Blitz brought to you by Apple Collision Center, National Playmakers Academy. Rider 102.5, 106.3, The Game.